So we're talking this morning on The Simple Plate about all kinds of ways that beginning farmers can get into farming and kind of the history of how our food system switched and a movement afoot, driven, of course, in part by the pandemic, but then in part by people just thinking, this is not the best way. We need to get back to being a little bit more self-sustaining, and that way we can also continue to live in small communities. Mr. Tom Casper is a guy who knows all about feeding people with very small areas of gardens, and he joins us this morning for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Good morning there, sunshine. Whoops.
I was listening.
There
to
you
that.
Go.
Sorry,
you're
hey,
fine. You're fine. It was just me. I know. It's such a Monday on a Tuesday.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That can't be.
It happens.
Yeah, boy, that was a great episode. And really, there's so much truth in the small in that whole episode before.
Oh, Cindy Hale is such a fascinating person. My dad served in the Second World War, as, of course, did my uncle. They left the farm to go serve in the Second World War. My grandfather was farming. They grew up farming with horses, and there were cows and sheep and chickens and pigs and crops and, you know, food crops and hay crops and crops to feed the animals, and watched the whole landscape of farming change completely in, you know, what, 80 years or so. It's just astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. In just a couple of generations, it has completely changed, and we become farther and farther, or have become farther and farther removed from where our food comes from, or how it's made, or how that all even happens. And we, you know, and that's part that there's also some good with that, because we also can go to the grocery store and get better produce kinds of things like that, then maybe we'd have a choice in the past if we'd like to do things that way.
You know what my dad told me, though? Once upon a time, they got a bunch of bananas in his little tiny farming community. They got some bananas in the grocery store, and there were tarantulas in them.
Yeah, I've heard stories about that. And
yeah. Do you find tarantulas anymore? Oh, no, no, no. No tarantulas. You don't get a free pet with your produce anymore.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
That's right. So they're and seeing stories about that. So, and like you had mentioned, there's become this really intensified new interest in gardening and growing your own food and where it's coming from and self-reliance and things like that. So it's really been, you know, things that have come out of this pandemic at the end of it, and things that maybe we reflect back on that were created some change in our life. And some of it may be good things like that, where we're spending more time growing some of our own food and learning about what we can do individually to help the earth and to care a little bit more about it and do a little bit more for it. And gardening is sure one of those ways. So,
well, interesting, of course, that Finland, now Finland is a smaller community, and it strikes me that it would be easier to start some of these projects on smaller communities than, for example, to try to start Let's Make Duluth, you know, sustainable food-wise. That could be a little bit more of a challenge. Maybe you need to start on a slightly smaller scale. Also, one of the things that Cindy talked about is that farmland, you know, good tillable farmland that you can grow crops on, can sometimes be a challenge to find that in our area. You're the gardening dude. You're the guy who knows all about land and land for farming. So is it possible to somehow get more of this? Is there some kind of a sneaky way that we can get some more land back available for people to do farming without necessarily doing what the pioneers did, you know, and come in and just clear cut everything and make fields out of it?
Yeah, that's certainly a challenge. I mean, we have the land for it in mass because we're not that populated up here, relatively unpopulated comparative to other areas. But our challenge is just the quality of native soil as far as growing crops. And, you know, if there's a lot of rock, and as any of us know who has stuck a shovel in the ground, there's a lot of clay. And those two things are very challenging for gardeners to be successful growing on rocks or in clay.
Even with just a small garden plot, you will occasionally see a new gardener just putting their head in their hands and weeping. I can't dig up one more rock. I can't.
Yeah, or my shovel won't go into the what you call soil.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big challenge. So finding tillable, growable soil for the kinds of things that you'd want to grow to eat is a big challenge in northeastern Minnesota. And there are pockets of good soil. I know Clover Valley, where Cindy's at, has some pockets of good soil up in there. And as you get a little bit out away from the city of Duluth, you can find those some of those more loamy kinds of soils. So it is a challenge. I know where I do have my little farm plot, just yesterday I put almost 30 yards of compost into one piece of the field to get it ready to grow in, and that's because it isn't great soil. And you really, you know, the first step to being a successful gardener, not only is it, I mean, the first step is making that commitment, the second step is improving the soil. So so certainly as folks are thinking about it, that improving the soil is the critical thing that they need to do to be to gain success in the garden. And if they don't do that, then you are going to see those gardeners, like you said, with their head in their hands and I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So soil,
but what if, what if neighborhoods either banded together and had some kind of an exchange within the neighborhood so that everybody got some produce instead of, you know, the zucchini on the doorstep in the middle of the night, everybody got a little bit of something? Or are there neighborhoods where maybe there's a vacant lot, and instead of, you know, struggling to, how am I going to, you know, amend 80 acres and make it tillable, you know, a bunch of people could get together and maybe make a garden plot out of one vacant lot, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was the vision 40 years ago or so with the community gardening program. And you see that, and they've been successful doing that with taking some of those vacant lots around our community, some in the east hillside, some in the central hillside, some in the west hillside. Up on Arrowhead Road is a very large plot where they've put in that effort to make that spot better and more garden friendly. And then they, for a small fee, people can rent a spot in that garden, and they oftentimes get some water with that if there's the opportunity. They also can get guidance. So a lot of times those areas are fenced for deer control, and folks have been able to garden in those areas where maybe they wouldn't get that chance to do that because of soil or where they live, things like that. So really, community garden has taken that model or what you've mentioned and really applied it and are utilizing some of those areas. But, you know, and they're probably at capacity for what they can do, but certainly that vision into the future of, as we grow and gain more interest in gardening, is to maybe find more of those areas and approach that organization or work with that organization, offer the opportunity for them to maybe create those spots. So it is a bit of an undertaking, but certainly can be done. And one of my dreams has always been, I've been talking about this for a long time, so I need to implement it, is to go in and work with homeowners to build small gardens in their yards or on their property for people that normally, under normal circumstances, couldn't afford to do that. and to do it as a grant opportunity, and then teach them a little course on how to garden and provide them with their seeds for their first year, and get them going on some gardening. Maybe that will help them along that path. So,
you know, I'm thinking of a couple of things that might make gardening a little more accessible to some people, depending on the people. If there were more gardens in communities, I might walk a block to do a little gardening. But will I get in the car, for example, and drive all the way over to Arrowhead to take part in, you know? And I mean, I'm lucky I have a nice big yard and my community garden's full of flowers. But would I walk necessarily, or, you know, would I get in the car and drive to a community garden plot? Maybe not. So maybe more opportunities in neighborhoods so that it would be easier for people to take part. And then I think your idea in particular is like raised garden beds. Because if you are a young person, it doesn't matter to you if the garden bed is on the ground or if it's, you know, raised a little bit. If you are an older person, it makes all the difference between whether or not you can garden.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's part of the challenge and thinking about neighborhoods where the community gardens are and having some history with them in the past. A lot of the people that gardened at those local locations were neighbors, people that lived a block or two away, and it was an event for them to go and walk, take that time to walk to the garden and reflect, and then garden, and then walk home and reflect. So there's definitely that, and the Arrowhead location, because it doesn't have anybody living around it per se, folks have to drive to it, and that is a challenge for some folks to do.
Of course, it is a challenge, and yet there's a great community of gardeners out there. So gardeners really do make community. But that would be another way, of course, to help strengthen our neighborhoods, too, as people got to, you know their neighbors a little better. Because, oh, where do you live? Oh, I'm the Blue House. Oh, wow, cool. I'm right next door.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. And there are some ways to, of course, till we can get those gardens in neighborhoods, more gardens in neighborhoods, or more folks gardening in at their homes, is supporting some of the local farmers markets that are happening where those local people are going out and have figured out a way to grow microgreens or to grow cantaloupe or to grow whatever it happens to be, to go to those farmers markets and support those farmers that are oftentimes in your neighborhood. You know, there's folks out in the Lincoln Park neighborhood that have small garden plots that are providing locally grown healthy produce for folks right there in their own neighborhood, thinking of the Lincoln Park Farmers Market or the Farmers Market at the Damiano Center that happens this afternoon, and of course the Duluth Farmers Markets on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and Two Harbors Farmers Market. So there's really a lot of choices for folks to support that and to get some of that local food till they can put their action or plan into action. So, you know, now, of course, would be the time to be thinking about what you want to grow for next year and how to make that happen. So you have the means to build that garden and get it ready and you know, even plant some things in it if you want to grow garlic or something like that.
And if you got a little grant money sitting around for a project like that, get in touch with Tom Casper. Because
he's your guy.
Want to
move that forward.
He's your guy. Well, we'll do a little snooping and see what we can come up with in terms of grant opportunities. But in the meantime, let's just talk again in a couple of weeks, shall we?
Let's do that.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Tom Casper is our longtime host of Tips for Hardy Gardeners. We're celebrating 20-something years in September. I'll have to look that up. It's just going to upset me. At any rate, and the Tips for Hardy Gardeners program is a regular feature of every other Tuesday right here on KUMD.